Hey everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is for K-12 Education Talk Radio on September 27th, 2022. And thanks so much for being with us today. Got a special guest today in the one and only Randy Economo, who is the CEO of Capstone, capstonepub.com. If you want to check that out, but you'll have plenty of time to do that. Okay, they're a big-time publisher in the education field, as you all know. Capstonepub.com. Check it out. But we're going to talk about a little deeper than that. We're going to talk about how Randy was started off as a classroom teacher, and most recently she was named the CEO of Capstone, which says a lot for teachers everywhere. Okay. And I want to talk to her about that experience and how her original experience shaped what she's doing now. As you know, we believe in industry voice here. Okay. And The industry helps to shape what goes on in classrooms. They have a symbiotic relationship between themselves and what you do every day, okay? And it's important that you understand that so many great people in the industry come out of the education field. Industry voice matters, okay, if I may say it that way. So please, okay, listen and check out what we're going to do. It should be a fun show about how learning should be equitable, accessible, and fun, and that's exactly what Capstone tries to do every day. All right, we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our home website for our American Consortium for Equity in Education, our magazine, Equity and Access, Pre-K-12. Our online journal is over there. Just click on the cover. You'll see it. Good issue. Excuse me. We're putting together our fall issue as I speak. Okay, it's going to be a nice issue as well. That'll be up in a couple of weeks. All right, but right now, enjoy our back-to-school issue over there. Also, we have teacherretention.com, teacher-retention.com. It's all linked over there at ace-ed. Okay, and that is extremely important these days. We don't want any lose any great teachers like you. Okay, so please look at what we're doing. We have great professional development over there. Hopefully, that'll make people understand why it's so important to stay, et cetera, et cetera. We also have SELtoday.org, our Social Emotional Learning Resource Center. And though we're winding down this year's nominations, I do hope you go over, look at the awards icon, and see our Excellence in Equity Awards program. We'll be continuing that next year. The nominations for this year are rapidly coming to a close in just a couple of days. It's September 27th. As I said, it'll be the end of September when we close that down. But it's important that companies, teachers, schools, products, etc., be recognized leading the way towards equity. So please check out everything we do at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And now let me welcome Randy Economo to the show. Randy, it's Larry here. How you doing?
Good morning, Larry. I'm great. Hey, wanted to say thank you for your show and thank you for having me as a guest today. I appreciate it.
Trust me when I say that you are welcome here anytime, and I hope we can do more shows with you and your team, if I may, over at Capstone, because I've known your company for years, okay, and it's a lovely company with lovely, good products, and we're going to talk about that today before we get into all the wonderful things you guys know about equity and accessibility and just the joy of learning. Before we go any further, am I pronouncing your last name properly? Economo.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Economo. Yep.
Just wanted to make sure. Okay. Could have been Economo. Okay.
You're right. I used to have to tell my students it was Economo like Geronimo, and they learned it forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, Randy Geronimo. Okay. But it is a great way to learn it. Okay. Randy Economo, CEO of Capstone. And that's a big deal. And I got to tell you something. I congratulate you. I was a classroom teacher as well many, many, many years ago. Okay. And, I'm always telling people that the skills that a teacher has, okay, apply themselves to a lot of different areas. And obviously you've had a great career in this, but you bring what you learned in the classroom every day to what you do as a CEO, especially in an education company. Okay. And so I just think it's great. And I'm going to start off this conversation. I want you to brag a little. You're CEO of Capstone. Tell everybody what Capstone does. I tried. You can do better. Go ahead.
You did an awesome job, though, Larry. Thank you. So we are a leading children's publisher and really for multiple decades we've been providing content for children that, that help them learn, and we love providing content that's trusted in the marketplace, but we also provide, you know, there's a technology side of what we do too. First of all, every title we offer is digital, and we have tools and resources to help make learning fun that maybe we'll talk about later. But love the work we do at Capstone.
Yes, and you do a good job, and I we're going to talk about this too, because this is very near and dear to our heart here. Our hearts here is that the products you put out there, and to me this is so important, cover a lot of different cultures. Okay, they make kids feel engaged no matter where they are from, and they build respect from kids of not of that culture into that culture. Okay, and I think that's a very key thing these days. Okay, and there's too many bad political forces at work. Okay. That are trying to change that, and you guys upstand for the other side of it. So I we're going to talk about that in detail. But I want you to talk about this, Randy. You were a classroom teacher, and believe me, when you were in school, you never thought you'd be CEO of a publisher in education. Okay, what's that journey been like?
Right. No, absolutely. You know, I used to tell my students that our lives were a series of our experiences and decisions that we used to make, and we would spend a lot of time, you know, having them ruminate on making good decisions. And when I think through my journey, I mean, what I did in the classroom has forever impacted every twist and turn in my life and definitely in my career. Learned a lot as a classroom teacher. First of all, I fell in love with teaching, and I fell in love with learning, and, you know, I fell in love with watching students as they would grow and have fun while they were learning and get excited about what they were learning, and I'd see those light bulbs go off, and literally in the classroom I would geek out for learning, just like so many teachers, you know, try to innovate and make learning exciting and fun. I also had the opportunity back when I was a high school teacher in Phoenix, Arizona.
I was just going to ask you, you just answered the question, where were you?
Yeah.
It was in Phoenix. Go ahead, yeah.
Yes, I was at Glendale Union High School District in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, awesome school district. I learned a ton. But when I was coming out of graduate school, I had student council on my resume. I was a president of my, you know, my different classes in school, and just thought I really wanted to give back by teaching leadership. And in this particular district, we had an hour a day every day to have a leadership class where, of course, we were responsible for all the fundraisers and, you know, all the dances and all the stuff going on in the school, but we also got to focus on leadership. And I'll tell you, I learned so much by being with adolescents every year talking about leadership and what leadership meant to them and what kind of a leader they wanted to be. And it forever changed my life. It was, I think I learned more than the kids did, and it was an honor to teach that kind of a class.
Wow. Yeah, that's were you a social studies teacher? Is that what you were?
You know, I taught high school language arts, so I learned so much about sales by the time you try to teach high school students that it's important to learn how to write a 5-paragraph essay with a 3-part thesis. I mean, it was just a blast. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, what you just said is so funny. You learned so much about sales by you. But most teachers don't even realize they're actually up there selling. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a great line.
Thank you for that.
A lot of teachers
don't realize it.
You know, it's just amazing. But you're up there selling every day, engaging the clients, the kids, and bringing them to a successful conclusion. Okay, and I might add my testers, I'm asking them for the order. I mean, that's a classic line. Okay. Yeah, that's really funny. I have to ask you this, and I don't know when you were in school. I was in school a long, long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. So when you look at education today compared to when you were in college and started teaching, what do you see as the differences out there? Randy.
Wow. So this is really interesting. So I taught in the late 90s. I locked the door from my classroom in June of 2000 for the last time, and what I saw then is students that were absolutely hungry to, you know, get on the internet to learn. They wanted to embrace the newest, you know, technology out there. And yet, you know, I had a dial-up computer access in the beginning with a little Mac Classic, you know, tiny screen that's smaller than an iPad. But, you know, I learned how to go to my assistant principal and get some of his petty cash, and I got a leadership computer. And Yeah, but I had kids that were hungry for technology, and literally, yeah. I was trying to stay just one step ahead of them because I knew that this was a relevant way to teach them. And, you know, you fast forward now, and there's so much technology out there and, mm-hmm. you know, so exciting for teaching and for learning. But when you look at the responsibility of a teacher, like staying one step in front of the kids now is maybe almost an impossible, you know, thing to do because there's just so much going on and technology changes so quickly. And, you know, when we think about how students learn now and the way they take information in, it is, I think these are extraordinary times to be a teacher. I really do.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that? You said that you stopped teaching in, I think, 2000, right? 2000?
I did, June of 2000,
So think about the changes, okay? It's only 22 years. Okay,
right.
That's all. That's
right.
That's a drop in the bucket. Okay, nothing.
Absolutely.
Okay, but
absolutely.
Look at the changes. Yeah, and that you have to deal with, you know. And part of those changes, and I want to get back to this because I said it before because I know your products at the company pretty well. Okay, there's a lot of diversity in mm-hmm. what you guys produce at Capstone. All right. And talk about that in terms of what you see in a classroom these days. I don't know what it was like when you were in teaching, but I was teaching long before you, but there was literally no diversity. Okay. A couple of black kids in an all white school. That was basically the diversity where I taught. Okay. Talk about that change, because as you notice that change, you have to recreate your products to match the students, the classrooms, the teachers' needs. Just talk about that.
We absolutely do, and not at all. When I was in the classroom, you know, I taught in a school that on one side of our school it was a country club, and on the other side of our school it was, you know, we had more, you know, kids that were, you know, transient and didn't have a warm, safe place to live. And what I learned early on, which is much more relevant today, is that I needed to seek to understand my students and understand their situations and understand what motivates them and, you know, what gets them excited about school. You know, I decided to teach ninth grade because I knew it was a year that students decided whether to stay or go in high school, and I just wanted to hold as many of them in as I possibly could. And so, you know, learning early on, and that was the diversity in my classroom, though. There wasn't much more, but I learned early on how important it was to really make sure that, you know, when I was giving examples in my classroom, that they were examples that all of the kids could understand and relate with. And, you know, I just see how important that is, because if children can't see themselves in the situation and if they can't celebrate their own culture and, you know, have an understanding that they're learning about and learning from and learning with people that are like them, it's difficult. You know, as a language arts teacher, I was able to bring in a lot of voices in my classroom, but very much shapes what we do at Capstone. We're passionate about inclusivity and equity and just making sure that children can see themselves and that we can help them celebrate diversity and different perspectives in communities that are all around the world, really. It is such a global place now compared to when I was teaching as well, because information is so readily available.
Yeah, I mean, the Capstone stuff is available in New Delhi, India now. Okay, it's good. It's everywhere, which brings up the other side of this, okay? You're the CEO of a company that has to do publishing. Mm-hmm. How do you you're publishing stuff, that's the end result, but you have to find the authors, the right authors, okay,
right.
who actually write this stuff. How hard is that to do these days? I imagine over the course of the last few years it's gotten easier, but still there aren't as many people writing about the diverse subjects as there are, you know, the old standards. What do you find?
Right. We're finding that it's been something that we have to be intentional about, something that we need to be committed about in order to really make sure that we have authors that also represent our students and our teachers and really our world. And so it hasn't been easy, but of course we're thrilled about the authors that we have put on board here at Capstone. And, you know, we have invited authors that, you know, are excited about doing exactly what we do to support that, you know, what we need to do to make sure that we're making a greater impact on these students. And so it's been something we've been, you know, blessed and honored to find people that want to join us in our work. And, you know, one thing about our organization is we are committed to our purpose. We are committed to children and to teachers and to families, really, because we know when we can get children learning and reading in the home and learning with their parents that exciting things can happen. And that's not easy in the world today. And so really, really happy about our group of authors that represent us, because they are committed to diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging for our children in the world.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you have to go out and find these people. I know there's more and more than ever before, but something that you have to be deliberate about, okay?
Yes.
And on that note, okay, and there's a lot of equality question. I'm just kind of reading off your website here, but you got, this is interesting, race, you know, you think about it, race, religion, mm-hmm. gender, age, sexual orientation, all that stuff is percolating.
Right.
Within school districts, okay? And I mean percolating good, not percolating bad. And you guys,
right.
how do you strike that balance? Where, how do you find what book to publish? And let me ask it a different way. As you talk, how do you hear educator voice? How do you incorporate educator voice into the books that you select? Maybe that's the question.
You know, I will tell you again, it's about, you know, focusing on the work, being intentional about what we're doing, but even more than that, it's about really trying to listen and understand, you know, what educators face, right? We already talked about how June of 2000 was the last time that I left the classroom, and the world looks so different then, and it has changed so much, but you know, really staying close to, you know, what's going on in the world and what students face, and really staying close to educators around and understanding what they're dealing with and what they're going through, and making sure that we're publishing content that allows them to know that this is, you know, safe for our classroom. This is something that, you know, I can share with my students, and I know that it's from Capstone, and I know that it is trusted and safe. And so, yep. Very, very careful about that.
I love that. I mean, you know, safe, trust, great words, I got to tell you. And there's another word, and I want you to talk about this because this matters to you, okay? Learning has to be engaging to the kids, and there's a better word, it has to be fun, okay? Learning doesn't have to be boring, okay? I was reading an article yesterday in the New York Times. A guy did the classic American novel, The Last of the Mohicans. This was an intelligent guy, and he said he's never gotten past page one. Okay, so that's not fun. You can't get past page one. Okay, and your job is now to bring these issues to the forefront in what you're doing and help teachers present them in a positive way. But it's got to be fun and engaging. Talk about that side of it, Randy. That's the fun part of it.
Right. And I think I shared with you, like, I would geek out for learning. My goal as a teacher was to talk about something in the classroom that kids would want to go home and share with their parents. And I remember I had a student named James, and he was kind of a tough kid, and his mom came to open house and said, whatever you're doing in your classroom, you know, James loves it. He says you're talking about his mental lexicon, you know, and I would just do what I could to get excited, and so do people in the profession now. I mean, we are absolutely in love with helping kids learn and grow. And when you think about making learning fun, I mean, it makes learning accessible. It helps, you know, students understand what they're learning. It helps them to, you know, it encourages a sense of wonder where they're almost forgetting that they're learning. I think that it, you know, helps reduce, you know, kind of stressful times that can happen. I mean, I taught speech and communication. Talk about kids that would be, I mean, more people are afraid of public speaking than almost death itself in certain situations.
Well, that's the old Seinfeld joke. They'd rather be in the casket than give the eulogy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You
got to do things to get them in a comfortable, you know, situation where learning, I think fun learning is comfortable learning, and I think fun, you know, when we make learning fun, kids forget that they're learning and they go deeper and deeper and deeper. I mean, it's just so much happens. And, you know, I wanted to be, and I was, because I had a computer. And so I was this hip teacher back in the late 90s. And kids were in my classroom all day, every day, because they knew we were going to do fun things. I mean, I'm talking at lunch and before school and after school. I mean, it was a safe, exciting place to come in and learn and have fun. And, you know, at Capstone, we are committed to that, too. And we know, and it's because we know teachers around the nation are committed to that, but it isn't.
They are.
Absolutely. They are absolutely committed to that. I mean, teachers have been making learning fun really for centuries. They really, really have. And now, because of the way kids learn and the way they grow and the way they take in information, it's almost just a prerequisite of what can happen when they're learning. And so we take it as our responsibility to be a partner in that. And I really think, you know, K-12 ed tech companies around the nation need to take that as a responsibility for teachers, because, yeah, staying one step ahead is not as easy as it was in the late 90s.
That's for sure. What grades are the Capstone books for? Are they K-12? They go up to 12?
They go really to K-9, we know that they are reluctant and struggling readers, you know, at all grade levels. And so we do have some high-low books that are completely accessible for reluctant and remedial readers, for English language learners, for special education students. And, you know, we're going to keep innovating. We have a lot of content to share with this world, and, you know, a lot of tools that will help teachers and students interact with this content in new and exciting ways. And that's really fun for us to think about.
It is fun. I'm going to ask you about two types of books you guys have and get them on the website, okay? You know, we're always talking about learning. That's what we do for a living, okay? However, this is going to be a funny way to ask this question, okay? You have to learn on everything. I'm looking here, and you have a category. Now, everything you have here is about learning something, except for this one category, which I love, which is called Scary Stories, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, Madam CEO, okay, does scary stories have anything to do with learning? I want to answer that one.
Well,
go ahead, Rand.
Yeah, scary, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there are children that love.
By the way, that was a setup. I knew you could answer that. Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Can I talk to you about one thing that you may not be reading? We also have a category, it's scary and gross. And so when you think about teaching the digestive system through the pukey book of vomit, you are going to capture every kid out there. Totally know the digestive
book of vomit. Where is that?
The pukey book of vomit. So it's not.
You really have
I don't
a book called
the
pukey book of
vomit?
You
really do. And it supports academic vocabulary, and it takes the child through the entire digestive process, and they forget they're learning and they're having a blast. And guess what? They're going home and talking to their families about, I learned about vomit today, but they're also learning about academic vocabulary and the whole digestive system, I promise.
Well, I love it. I'm pushing that book now, The Pukey Book of Vomit. I think that's really, really important, but it's true. It's amazing. And the other one I want to get a little more serious about, because it's important to us here over at Ace-Ed, besides the equity side, although I think it's part and parcel of it, is you have books, and I want to make sure people understand that, on social-emotional learning. Talk about that.
Right.
And that's always been around, but it's more important now than ever, especially post-pandemic.
It is more important now than ever. And, you know, helping students really understand their emotions and understand that, you know, how they're feeling and what they're feeling, you know, have been, you know, emotions that other children and other people can relate to, and helping them understand that it's okay and to work through the meaning of it and the why.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of it, you know, can be really character education for some of the very youngest readers, but so many important aspects of life need to be written about, talked about. We need resources for teachers to help them really help children understanding what's happening. I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's more important now than ever. This world has been through so much, and, you know, the
still
students have been impacted. So much. And the students are impacted, and, you know, writing about these important topics really helps students to, you know, again, relating that there are people and the world that feel the same way. There are authors that know it's important to write about this. It's validating, and it helps them understand, and it helps them grow. So very committed to it.
Yeah, and it helps them read. Just, you know, the whole literacy aspect of this is really, really key. Let me ask you a question. Do you guys publish in other languages or just English? I'm just curious.
We publish in English and Spanish right now. But yeah, and always open to looking at new languages. And
oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, providing more. But yes, English and Spanish. And, you know, some of our solutions have parity, you know, in English and Spanish. And we think that it is so important to encourage, you know, just having, you know, biliteracy, you know, for certain states that we partner with where – well, it's important to all children, but definitely, definitely want to be a partner in that for the space.
Absolutely. And I'm going to take it a little bit further. I think it's important for every kid who speaks English as a first language to have a second language. Okay. And if there's good, wonderful, enjoyable books in a second language that another teacher can use, that a teacher can use to build up the language of Spanish, non-Spanish speakers, I think that's great. I think that's great. Let me ask you the most important question, Randy. Is the Pukey Book of Vomit in both English and Spanish, or just English?
You know, I believe that it's not in English and Spanish, but it is read aloud. And, you know, as the book is read, the sentences are highlighted, and so are the words. And, you know, by the way, the companion book to that is the Slimy Book of Snot, you know, just in case you want to read it. I think I need to send you a couple copies.
You need to send these to me. As you can see, you have piqued my interest. Okay. The Slimy Book of Snot and the Pukey Book of Vomit. Okay, let me just say, everybody, they have other titles as well, but these have a certain appeal to me that I can't actually put into words why that is. But as the CEO, and as you see the changing forces in education these days, okay, what are the big challenges out there that you guys see? Okay, and you got to bring your products to market and all that sort of stuff. You know, just as you do this, what's your just overall take on education these days, Randy?
Wow. I mean, first of all, when you look at what happened over the events of the last few years, I have so much respect for teachers and educators everywhere you know, they were forced away and literally overnight had to learn how to be teachers that could provide high quality education in a distance learning setting. And so,
with no training.
Yeah. And think about the stress of all of that. I mean, just, I wanted to dial in on time and be here for the radio show, and that was stress. But think about teaching a class of 30 adolescents, you know, during the pandemic and making learning exciting and fun. And, you know, so on one hand, I think, you know, teachers really, you know, just had such a heavy lift of adapting quickly, and yet they did it because that's what teachers do. They meet students where they are and they break through the barriers. But, you know, in the time of the pandemic, a lot of districts also had to adopt, you know, technology quickly and put resources into place. And, you know, we still see that although there were, you know, great intentions and just a monumental effort, the learning gap is getting wider, and we, you know, we have to look at that, and we, you know, as a partner, we want to, and we are leaning in, and we're wanting to make sure that we want to make sure that we're a partner and leaning in and listening to what's going on now, because times have changed so quickly and so abruptly, and now I think, you know, schools and districts are leaning in to figure out programming moving forward. And, you know, learning and teaching will never be the same. And the neat part about, you know, the silver lining is we learned a lot through it, but it also has put us in a different environment that, you know, that is, you know, brought on a whole new bunch of demands to focus on.
Right. And you know, and I'll say it again, you're CEO of Capstone, you've got to be on top of these things. Okay.
Right.
To see what the world, you know, it's just amazing. From classroom teacher to CEO of Capstone and the publisher of the Slimy Book of Snot and the Pukey Book of Vomit. I love that. Okay. I've just come up with your tombstone there. I hope you don't
there
mind
you go.
That. That's not for a long, long time. Right. I hope that's not for a long, long time. Randy, I hope you'll come back here. Okay. I think it's great to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it so much. Great. Thank you again for this show that you provide for educators that makes a difference in their daily life. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, I really do. Randy, have a good day. Where are you today, by the way? I forgot to ask. Where are you?
I am in our office in Edina, Minnesota. So it's a beautiful day in Minnesota for sure. And I hope everyone has a beautiful day today as well.
Yes, and I think the Vikings actually won this past weekend, didn't they? Did they win?
I believe so. And I need to, I do believe so. Yep.
So you're on your way. Okay, you're on your way. Yep. All right, we'll see what happens. I think the Patriots are playing the Vikings this year, so there's going to be another victory for you. I can almost guarantee
there
that.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, let's plan on that because it's a good day in the office when they win, so we'll count on that.
I'm sure it makes for a happier office. Talk about social emotional learning. It makes for a happier office when the Vikings win, the Purple People Leaders. Randy, thank you. This was just great. I really enjoyed it. Okay, thanks a million.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. Wow, she's great. That's Randy Economo, who's the CEO of Capstone. I want to say it again. She started off as a classroom teacher. Okay? The industry is so strong and so good, and it's so many people in it were teachers. And like she said, you know, you're out there selling every day. Okay? It's just great stuff. All right? We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Everything we do is over there, including where we'll archive this one. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.